Well, friends, here we are in our vision series for 2020. And this year we're going to be focused on church. What is church? What is the essence of church? And the reason for doing this is very obvious. So much has changed in our world and in our society over the course of 2020. And so much has been changed in church in 2020. We've been seeing church transformed. And so it's very appropriate for us now just to go back to the question of what exactly is church? What is the essence of church? Now, of course, if I ask this question to the average Aussie on the street, I might get a reply such as, well, I belong to the Anglican Church, or I belong to the Roman Catholic Church, or whatever it might be. And of course, they're identifying the meaning of church as a denomination, as an organization. Or they might say, well, church is the building, that big sandstone building in the middle of Centenary Square, that's church. And of course, they're talking about a particular place. But as believers, as Christians, we understand that the word church in the New Testament actually means gathered people. It means a congregation of people. It's about the people, not the denomination, the organization, or the building, or the place. What about, though, this question? As we've gathered this year, for a substantial part of the year, we've actually gathered online. Is that church? Does it meet the qualifications of being church, the essence of church? When we come to the Bible, of course, the word church is a secular word, surprisingly enough. There's nothing ecclesiastical about it whatsoever. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 39, there is a crowd gathered. They're on the verge of a riot. And they are described in that passage as a church. That is, they are a gathering of people. In the very next verse, the city council is described as a church. But in that case, it's an official church. So as far as the New Testament is concerned, if they were speaking in the New Testament about the city council of Parramatta, it would be the church of Parramatta Council. If there is a demonstration in the streets of Melbourne against a lockdown, that is a church, a gathering of people for a particular purpose. If Muslims gather in a mosque, if scouts gather in a scout hall, if Christians gather in their hall, all of these things are churches, that is just gatherings of people. So the word church is completely agnostic as to the purpose of the gathering. Now, of course, the word has taken on a very Christian meaning over the centuries, but in the New Testament, it was secular. Now, the great occasion for church in the Old Testament was the gathering of God's people at Mount Sinai. In fact, God commanded Moses in these words, "Church me the church." That is to say, God told Moses to gather the gathering of the Israelites before him at Mount Sinai. And there's a very strong theological context here. What's actually happening is God has called his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, in order to gather them together. So the idea of church at Sinai, the idea of the gathering of God's people, is full of purpose, that is, to be called out and to be called together. Now, those are two very important phrases for us, to be called out and to be called together. And those two things work together. God called his people out of slavery in Egypt. He called them together before him at Mount Sinai, and he spoke to them. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. Where is church then gathered today? Where is church gathered today? Because Sinai is, of course, an Old Testament picture written in the history of Israel. It's a picture of a spiritual reality, which we are part of in the New Testament. So at Sinai, it's a picture of the redeemed people gathered around God. Now, presently, God is gathering his people around the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as God came down on the mountain, the people stood before him. So Christ now is the one who has been raised from the dead, seated on the throne of heaven, and he is gathering his people before him. And so what we see is that it is not, first of all, an earthly gathering. It is a heavenly and spiritual gathering, gathered around Christ in heaven. That's church. That's the gathering of God's people. You see this very clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm picking up from verse 18. And this is a contrast between the gathering at Sinai on the one hand and the gathering of God's people before Christ in the heavenly realms on the other. Have a listen to these words. See if you can pick out the word church. Listen for it. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast. That's referring, of course, to Mount Sinai. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Now, it's wonderful language that you have here. You notice the phrase, you have come to, and we have come to the church of the firstborn, the gathering of those who are around Jesus Christ. There's a movement here. We've been brought out of slavery, just as the Israelites were brought out of slavery in Egypt. So we've been brought out of slavery to this world and the kingdom of darkness. And we have been brought together under Christ and in his presence in heaven. Now, this in essence is a statement of the gospel. That is to say, Christ has been raised to heaven. He is seated on the throne of heaven. We are gathered there with him as we receive the forgiveness of our sins and acceptance and justification before God. This is what Jesus has authority to offer us. When we talk about church, there is a real sense in which we're talking about the gospel. You see similar things in Ephesians and chapter 2, verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us in him in the heavenly realms. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Notice the past tense. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Now, you may not feel like you're in heaven. It's difficult to feel like that, isn't it? Occasionally we have that wonderful ecstatic experience where we're lifted up emotionally before the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. But mostly that's not our experience day to day. Why is that? It's because our bodies still belong to this corrupt world. This world is passing away, and our bodies must pass away with this world. They have to be put to death. But our spirits are alive in Christ Jesus, seated with him in the heavenly reality. And therefore, friends, we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, and we have fellowship with one another. That is the spiritual reality. We have been united already spiritually with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Spirit, as God calls us to Jesus, and we have unity with one another, a spiritual unity, which we are then seeking to work out in this age and in this world. And secondly, therefore, brothers and sisters, what is happening in evangelism? What is happening when someone comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord is adding daily to his congregation, to his church, to the assembly of the firstborn that we just read about, adding daily to his eternal church. Now, earlier we had a reading from Revelation and chapter 7. Let me read to you again from verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. This is the church to which you belong. And that should be exciting. That should be deeply exciting for all of us. This is the church to which we already belong through our Lord Jesus Christ, called by His Spirit. This is the church of God before His throne, the assembly to which Christ has brought us. This is the wonderful, glorious reality of the church of God and the heavenly assembly. Now, of course, there is one small problem. How do you drive to this church? Because there is no bus, there is no train, there is no aeroplane that can deliver us safely into this church, because it is for us presently an invisible spiritual reality, one which we can perceive only by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, the New Testament doesn't only speak about that heavenly church. The New Testament doesn't only speak of the ultimate spiritual reality which is present for us and which is our destiny and our future. The New Testament also speaks about local gatherings. So the New Testament speaks about the churches in Galatia or the Church of Jerusalem. And of course, if it was written today, it might speak about the Church of Parramatta. So what is the essence of church as we meet here on this planet in this age? And the answer is this, that the local church is the expression of the inevitable and the necessary expression of that heavenly reality. The heavenly spiritual entity must express itself in local, physical, geographical assemblies. That is what church is. The local church is the heavenly reality expressing itself in this world of time and space in which we live. The essential expression of the heavenly gathering, that's what our local church is. That is what St. John's is. Every time we meet together, in every congregation, indeed, in even our small groups, it is the expression of that heavenly gathering. So what are we actually doing at church? We are expressing the fellowship that we have with God and with one another. It's the expression of a fellowship that we already have because of what Christ has done for us and because of the gift of His Spirit who unites us together and in Christ. We are expressing together the present spiritual reality as well as our eternal destiny. And think very carefully about that. We are expressing together that we have been brought out of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're expressing together, as we gather together, that we have been united in the face of Jesus Christ and in that new present reality. We are also witnessing to the powers of evil, that they will be destroyed. The very fact that we are gathered in the presence of Christ, a new redeemed community, says that this age and this world is passing away. There is a new eternal reality that has been and which is being established. And we are giving above all, as we gather together, a testimony to the risen Christ. Because as we gather, as this assembly of God's people, we gather before Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is why we listen to the Word of Christ, the Scriptures. That is why we pray together to Christ. These are such important things for us to do and to do corporately in our church assembly. It's very much like it was at Sinai. Remember that when God came down on Mount Sinai, He spoke to the people. They were gathered not just before the mountain, but before God on the mountain. As we gather together, a local assembly, we are gathered together before Christ seated on the throne, who is present with us. For wherever one or two are gathered, there am I, said Jesus, in the name. So church is not to be described as a consequence of the heavenly church, but rather our church on earth is the expression of the heavenly church, the heavenly gathering. Now, this has some very profound implications for us. Just imagine with me for a moment if someone was to say, well, I don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian. Then what are they doing? They're effectively rejecting God's eternal destiny for them. This is a very, very serious thing. Augustine said, if church is not your mother, then God will not be your father. And he caught something very, very important there. You see, Christian living is a group activity. Can you imagine, for instance, someone saying, oh, I'm a netballer. But you see, of course, netball is a team activity, isn't it? If they're not part of a netball team, then they're not a netballer. And so Christian living is a group activity. Now, of course, there are some circumstances where we're not able to meet together, whether by incapacity or whether by pandemic. And so we have to make allowance for those things. But in its essence, we are called to be part of the assembly, and that is the direction, the purpose of our redemption. You can imagine one of the Israelites decides to sit out Mount Sinai. He goes off into the desert, pitches a tent by himself. He's not part of the assembly. Therefore, he's not part of the people of God and not part of the saved people. It's this that we must understand. So now let us ask this question. If we understand what church is, let us now ask this question, what is church not? What is church not? Well, obviously, church is not the denomination. Denominations can be useful things, or sometimes they're not. But a denomination is not God's people gathered. In fact, you can't gather a denomination. If you can gather a denomination, then it's no longer a denomination, it's a church. It's as simple as that. Church is not a building because the place is irrelevant to the gathering. The people can gather in a church building, they can gather in a park, they can gather in a hall, they can gather in other places, and it's not relevant, they are still a church. But here is the question for us today. What about the online gathering? What about the online gathering? And of course, this has been our experience for a significant part of this year. And the online gathering has been very useful, and I'll touch on that in just a moment. But in essence, it's an oxymoron. What do I mean by oxymoron? Well, it's an internal contradiction because it's not really a gathering. You see, this is the problem. When we are sitting behind our own individual screens or a family sitting in the living room watching a screen, we're not really gathered and we are not properly and fully expressing the heavenly reality, that heavenly gathering. It doesn't express being brought out and being brought together. You see, because we haven't been brought out, we're still sitting in our living room. And we haven't been brought together, that is, we're not in each other's company. And so it's not a full and proper expression. This online gathering is not a full and proper expression of the heavenly church. It doesn't express our calling and it doesn't properly express our destiny. That's the first thing to understand about the online gathering. The second thing to understand about the online gathering is it lacks, and here's another big word, propinquity. Propinquity, what does that mean? I had to look it up myself. Propinquity means the kinship of proximity. The kinship of proximity. That is to say, every believer with their own screen does not inherently express fellowship. We're not participating, we are watching. And it's different to participating together. Well, you might very well ask, why then have we gone to such trouble to produce online services during this year? And the answer is that that was the best available for us. In fact, we are privileged that we were able to do that and that we have the technology to do it. This was the best available to keep us together and to give us that sense still of belonging to both the fellowship that we express here at St. John's and the eternal fellowship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was useful for a particular time and particular purposes, and we may very well continue to use it for particular purposes, but we should not deceive ourselves. It's not church. It's not actually a gathering together. There's a wonderful verse in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 10. That is, God is bringing all things together under the headship of Christ. God is bringing all things together under Christ, the head. And as we gather together as God's church here at St. John's, that is what we are expressing. It's the physical gathering together that expresses that God's purpose is being fulfilled. He is bringing all things together under Christ, the head. At the present time, we are still constrained. At the present time, English services at 8, 10 and 5, we are gathering still less than half of our regular attendance. We need to grow that to enable more people to come back face to face. And over time, I want you to continue and to work hard at coming back physically. As a shepherd, I'm concerned for the sheep. We need to bring the sheep back together as a flock once more. In your mind, I'm asking you, please, please, do not substitute the online service for church. It is a patch. It is something that will help us temporarily, something that we need, something that's been useful for us, but is not fully and properly church. Would you please make the effort to come back to physical face-to-face services as you are able and as we are able to open them up?